produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
A healer.
God is a healer.
Yes, he is.
Sometimes weapons form against you, but they'll never prosper. Remember, God is your shield.
He's waiting for your call.
He is waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall.
And there's a place of rest and peace.
There's a place of rest.
And here's the good news.
Peace is waiting.
Peace is waiting.
Hallelujah.
In the sanctuary. One more verse. Listen.
Sometimes your bills can stress you.
Can I get a witness in here?
But remember God's peace.
He's a peace giver.
He's a peace giver.
I bet you can relate to this.
Sometimes your money's running low and you're worried how you'll make it. But God will supply your.
Anybody know he'll supply your needs? He's waiting for your call.
He's waiting for your call. Waiting to shield you from your fall. And there's a place of rest and peace in the sanctuary.
Everybody lift your hands if you feel him moving in this place. I feel you moving.
I feel you move.
In the sanctuary.
In the sanctuary.
Dr. Mary coming to you with another session of Healing the Hurt. This program is dedicated to inspiring hope and healing using the application of God's Word as a healing balm for you. I want to thank you for taking time out from your busy schedules to listen in today. And for those of you who may want to contact me, I invite you to visit my website, www.drmarygpatton.com. Again, that is www.drmarygpatton.com. I would love to hear from you. I'm so grateful to Ms. Kayla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network, for providing me with this opportunity to tell you who need to hear that God can heal your hurt, turn your pain into purpose, and change your adversities into authority so you can walk out your destiny. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life at Calvary for our sins, I thank you and bow humbly before you. Thank you for another opportunity to serve. I pray, Father, that you will cleanse my mouth and my heart of any unrighteousness, that my prayers may not be hindered. Thank you for everyone who is listening to this program today, and meet their needs in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for protection and wisdom as we continue to deal with the effects of COVID-19. Heal the sick, bring comfort to those who are grieving. Continue to give strength and comfort to frontline workers in the name of Jesus. Father, I lift up Kayla to you. I ask that you continue to show favor toward her and her family. Continue to encourage and keep a song in her heart as she continues the mission you've entrusted her with. Father, I pray that the words from my mouth will be acceptable in your sight and that you will use them to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now, before I get into the talking points for today, I want to share a thought that I believe God shared with me in terms of how many of us, how many of us are responding to emotionally the coronavirus. Many of us are responding in a way that is just heartbreaking. COVID-19 continues to create a tremendous amount of emotional pain and suffering for many people, partly because of uncertainty of what will happen next. Many are struggling to cope with tormenting fear of the unknown in terms of life and death. Uncontrollable fear has been uncovered by this pandemic. But in actuality, what COVID-19 has done is validate biblical truth, as documented in Job 14:5 and Psalms 139 and 16, that truth being life and death rests in the hands of the Father, and no one knows for certain when their time on earth will expire. Yet the dramatic realization of those scriptures that has been brought to surface by COVID-19 is creating overwhelming emotional distress and pain for a lot of people, as they are forced to confront the reality of their fear. We absolutely must use wisdom and take necessary precautions to protect ourselves and others, but God has already said in scripture, don't fear. Now, I believe emotional distress is one of Satan's weapons that he's been using far too long to destroy our spirituality and weaken the church. When I say church, I'm not speaking about a building, but rather the church body, a body of believers all over the world. Many are fighting emotional battles from the pulpit to the door, and sadly, a large number are losing the fight. Scripture tells us in John 10:10 that the thief, which is Satan, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ came that we may have an abundant life. To enjoy that abundant life Christ desires for us to enjoy, we must be healed from the effects of damaged emotions. Emotional healing is just as important to our wellness as physical healing. Yet, some of God's people are still in denial when it comes to that fact. Many are putting their emotions on the back burner, refusing to identify or even acknowledge that they exist, and are in total denial of how those emotions may be affecting their overall wellness. Today, I want to talk a bit about a feeling called anguish. It's a very painful emotional experience. It means to be extremely distressed and about something, such as COVID and other things. And its definition includes words such as misery, dread, despair, depression. In a nutshell, anguish means fear, hopelessness, and sadness. Now, before you tune me off and decide that this session is not for you, let me just say, yes, even God's chosen can sometimes experience anguish. There are several of God's men in the Bible who experienced anguish, but today I want to focus on just one of them, David. And I'm going to be using Psalm 13, verses 1 through 2 as talking points for today's session. The psalmist writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" I believe that this passage of scripture discloses the very essence of emotional distress, and further believe that it reveals the dangers of its pain as well as the need for healing the hurt. It happens that David was clearly experiencing anguish, extreme emotional discomfort. We can conclude from reading his dialogue that he is also dealing with feelings of isolation, which contribute greatly to anguish. Isolation is another one of Satan's effective strategies that he uses against us when we are in emotional distress. Did you ever notice how we don't want to talk to anybody when we are going through emotionally? One of Satan's tactics to separate, to isolate. The enemy of our souls make us feel as if we are all alone and that no one knows or cares about what we're going through. He will also even try to convince us during those moments of feeling isolated that God does not even see or care about what is happening to us. He tries to persuade us that God has turned his face in the opposite direction from us. I believe that is what was happening to David in this scripture. Satan tried strategy of isolation with David, and he's trying it with many people, even today. Solomon stated in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 that there is nothing new under the sun. Now we find David, while in his moment of distress, doing something that many of us have been taught we should never do. David is questioning God. Notice how he's not challenging God's authority, though, but he is asking God why. I believe that it is okay to ask why for clarity, so long as we're not attempting to defiantly get in God's face, so to speak, and challenge his authority or his right to make a decision about our lives. I believe the fact that David asked God how long four times in the first two verses tell us something incredibly significant. It reveals that David was in tune with his emotions and realized the urgency of his need for an answer. There are times when we need an answer from God in terms of our emotional needs and fail to recognize the urgency of the situation. Some of us have allowed ourselves to believe that emotional distress is not something we should even petition God about, because we have been deceived into thinking that strong Christians don't have emotional issues. I believe that is deception, which comes from Satan, and he has deceived us far too long. It's time to heal the hurt. And the first step in doing that is to acknowledge that the hurt exists. We can take a lesson from David. David was always open and honest about his emotions, and we might as well be too, because God already knows what we feel. After all, God gave us emotions for a specific purpose. We simply must learn to identify and use them appropriately. Praise God. When we are in distress, that can result in confusion and distorted thinking. I imagine that David was experiencing a bit of both as he endeavored to escape from Saul's pursuit of him. Can you imagine how he may have been feeling having to escape for his life from someone he had loved and respected? My God, that situation must have been a source of much inner conflict and confusion. Yet, David knew exactly where he should turn for help. David's situation can inspire some of us today who are experiencing similar situations to realize that the only hope for protection rests in the power of God, realizing where his only help resided, David cried out to God in what seemed to be desperation. How long, Lord, are you going to forget me forever? When we are in despair, it may appear that God has forgotten about us. When we are hurting, immediate relief is often desired. People do not ordinarily enjoy pain and distress. If we do not get that immediate response to our prayers, especially when we are desperate for help, it can often lead to feelings of despair. David did not get the answer he desired immediately, so he poses another question to God. This time he asks, how long will you hide your face from me? The face of God represents his presence and favor. David did not feel the favor of God in his present situation. When we are in distress, it can be hard to separate feelings from facts. When we are not experiencing the favor of God, or when he hides his face or turns his face, so to speak, that should spark a realization in our hearts that we need more of his grace and power. That is a time we should seek him more. Rather than seeking God more intensely during times of severe emotional pain, many become despondent, lose hope, and turn to ways of masking their pain. That is another one of Satan's deceptions. If he can get us to wear a mask, hide our pain, then he can keep us broken, weak, and ineffective for the kingdom. Because as long as we wear a mask, we will never seek help. As I mentioned in last session, things are not always as they initially appear to be. It may seem as if God is somewhere in the distance, looking in the opposite direction, and totally unaware of what is going on in our lives, but I wanted to remind someone today that his love for us is everlasting, as indicated in Jeremiah 31 and verse number 3. We must also remember that absolutely nothing can separate us from his love. That verified in Romans 8, 38 and 39. When we are suffering from emotional overload, we may feel isolated and all alone. But feelings are not facts. And we can take comfort in Scripture. Hebrews 13 and 5 is a fact. He will never leave us or forsake us. God is not man. He will not make a promise and break it. God is faithful to his word. Praise God. It is rather obvious when reading Psalm 13 that David is feeling overwhelmed by his circumstances in these first two verses. His emotions appears to be getting the best of him. That is a common reaction when we focus more on our problems than on God's ability to solve those problems. Emotions will tend to spiral out of control, and if that happens, feelings of isolation and anguish can lead to hopelessness, which prompts people to commit suicide. We must always try to remember God cares and is always just a prayer away. We are never forsaken by him, regardless of how we feel. If we feel disconnected from God because of emotional pain, that is the time to turn our focus to him and seek spiritual intimacy. Get to know him on a personal level. Develop relationship with him. By doing so, we learn to focus on him rather than on our pain. That is not an easy task when we are feeling the pain of anguish, but it is possible. Prayer and fasting with humility helps to develop spiritual intimacy with God. Sometimes we may tend to become angry with God, especially when things are happening to us and we don't feel like we deserve it. We can't pray with humility if we're angry. Matthew 5, 3 through 4 tells us that being poor or humble in spirit reveals the face of God. The face of God means his grace and power actively showing up in our lives. We must come humbly before him if we desire to reveal his face during our times of suffering. It is imperative that we seek to find spiritual balance when adversities disturb our peace and cause us to feel anguish. During those times, it is vital to turn our faces to God because He is the one constant in our lives and will always, always provide that spiritual balance needed for us to stand during painful times. Thank you, Lord. David's third question to God was, how long will I take counsel in my soul? God was apparently quiet, or perhaps David could not hear his soft whisper above all of the chatter that was taking place in his own mind. I believe David was responding to his situation just like many of us today, when we do not get the answers we desire and begin to have negative dialogue in our own mind. Faithless thoughts running rampant through our mind can be dangerous to our spiritual as well as our physical wellness. To take counsel in our soul indicates that we are only communicating with ourselves. Let me repeat that. To take counsel in our own soul indicates that we're only communicating with ourselves. Now, if you're going through fearful, stressful, and anxious times, taking counsel with fear, stress, and anxiety can lead to even more serious emotional complications, which can sometimes prove to be fatal. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, as of January 30th, 2020, suicide was noted as the nation's 10th leading cause of death. Now, when we are not hearing, any opposing opinions to counter our own negativity, that can be a dangerous space to occupy. I say that because, sadly, suicide is also impacting the body of Christ. It is time to heal that hurt. The fourth and final question that David posed to God was, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Sounds like he was feeling helpless, hopeless, and defeated. Notice again how the distorted thinking resulting from anguish is taking place. With this final question, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? Since when did the enemy become exalted over God's chosen? Exaltation is the position for God. Distorted thinking frequently happens when one is emotionally distraught, and it plays into their poor decision making. Now, when you read the entire chapter, you will see that David got the help that he needed for overcoming his feelings of anguish. When he began to focus on the love of God and his power to deliver him and not so much on his own situation, I believe that David began to rebuild spiritual intimacy with God and regained his spiritual balance. Praise the Lord. When that happened, his answer came and God healed his hurt. Praise the Lord. Now, if there is someone listening today that feel the need for more spiritual intimacy with God, and you know your emotions are out of control, if you are experiencing feelings of anguish and unable to find spiritual balance, Scripture says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord feels your pain and he wants to heal you're hurt. If you're someone listening that do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and healer, and you desire to get to know him, you can invite him into your heart today just by saying this short prayer with me. Remember, he is only a prayer away. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father God, I acknowledge that I have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Forgive me, come into my heart, save my soul, and heal my hurt. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you prayed that prayer in faith, praise God. you can go ahead and begin to rejoice. Praise you, Jesus. This is Dr. Mary, thanking you for listening to the broadcast today and inviting you to join me for the next session of Healing the Hurt. Until then, be encouraged. And remember, God wants to heal you.
Away.
God wants to heal you.
Yes, he does.
Everywhere you hurt. God
will see you through. Yes, he will.
He'll take the pain.
Listen.
Away.
God shall provide for you each and every day. So lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right away.
God shall provide for you.
I know he will.
Each and every day.
Each and every day.
Just lift your hands and say,
lift your hands and
Lord,
say, now come on, just lift your hands and begin to thank him for the healing right now. Come on, let me hear you worship him all over the house tonight. God is in the room to heal you tonight. His presence is here.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Jehovah. Alpha and Omega. Ungu Alpha and Omega. You are Alpha and you are Omega. Let us share celebration with that song sung in Zulu. It means you are Alpha and you are Omega. I want to greet each and every one of you listening from wherever you are. In the name of our Lord and Savior, this is Pastor Jabez Sangwane coming in from Johannesburg, South Africa on Finding My Way Radio. Thank you, Kyla, and thank you, Pastor Shimi, for the opportunity to share with whoever is part of this big, lovely, warm family of Finding My Way. It's a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of this. I want to share quickly from my heart and the topic that says your future is secured. Your future is secured. I know that this topic is kind of shaky in a person who is listening and who has questions about their future, especially when you are going through a rough patch or you're going through uncomfortable circumstance, or you've just lost a relative or a job, or when you look at your life, you don't see if there is any light at the end of the tunnel. When you hear somebody telling you that your future is secured, that kind of gives you two or three thoughts before you can accept that. I come through today to share with you what God has put in my heart today about your future and how secure it is. And we're going to read in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 and verse 12, maybe land on 13. A lot of you have heard about these verses. These are one of the verses that are familiar in the body of Christ. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a home." Another version says, "They are plans to prosper you." Says, "When you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." This is what God says to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah sends this message to the children of Israel. And these are people who were going through stuff. They had experienced captivity in Babylon. And God is giving them a promise that he will rescue them. He will deliver them. And when he delivers them, he shall fulfill his promises. And in this verse it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, and the plans I have for you are good, and the plans are not disastrous. The plans are to give you a future and a hope." And I sometimes talk, and when I talk like this, there are people listening who have no hope for the future. Says, "I give you plans that have hope for your future. And when you call on me, I will listen." Jeremiah is telling people who have experienced spaces in their lives where they thought their God had turned his back on them. They have gone through experiences that are hard. When we go with them into the spaces where they come from in captivity, this is where the oppressors or who gave them hard labor and multiplied the hardship and demanded from them things that were hard in terms of work, hard to do. And I imagine in their corners after work, when they go into their corners, they would look each other in the face and ask, I imagine, if our God still with us, what happened to him? Even though we know we didn't do right, the situation in which we find ourselves, what is his opinion? What does he say when he looks at us and see us being driven as slaves in this place. And God in this verse is saying, my plans, I have plans for you. We're talking to people whose existence did not exhibit any form of plan from God. The plan it looked like, the plan they were subjected to were the plans of their captors, the plans of Babylon. It looked like the plans for them came only from their captors. But God is saying, I have plans for you. He was not talking about plans that he was putting together. He had those plans from the beginning. This is the message that he sends to his people. And he says, I will deliver you. The most important thing in this chapter for me is verse number 11. It's incredible that the existence of human beings, the existence of you as you listen, the existence of each and every one of us is not without a plan from God. I might not have a plan, but God has a plan for me. Because he is that kind of God. He's a God who does not do anything without a plan. When we go to Genesis 1, it says in 26 verse, let us make man in our image. He's making a plan. And he says, this man will be like us. He will be like, he puts the plan together. And then when you read, you go down, he says, and then God made man, and then he got into the practical to create what he planned for. In verse 26, he is like that. He is a God that plans before he does. When he formed us, he says, he formed us on top of a plan. Just like he has a plan for you as you listen to this broadcast, even if it doesn't look like it has a plan, your life has a plan. And I look back at my life, I see all the corners I've turned trying to make a plan for my life. And I remember clearly, like it was yesterday, when I discovered that I actually cannot plan for myself. It was a Saturday morning and I gave my life to him. When you continue to read, he says, the plans, the type of plans I have, good plans. God is waiting to implement a good plan for you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, he has a good plan waiting to be implemented for you. And a sad thing for me sometimes is seeing a child of God who has even given their lives to Christ still trying to plan for themselves. It is possible, child of God, to be born again, but still keep your plans with you and continue making your plans. I certainly have seen a lot of people like that. I imagine a child trying to live their life according to the plan that they make for themselves. I remember when my wife first got pregnant, and we planned that the child would sleep in this bedroom. We had a plan for that before she got pregnant. We had a plan for the child's education before she got pregnant. When she got pregnant, we even chose the clothes as soon as we knew it was a girl. It was a girl, and we chose how the girl was going to be raised. We even chose a school and a nursery or a kindergarten where she would go. We even chose the school, the primary school where she would go. We chose everything. We had put money on the side for the child, for the school, and we put money for the education and for her health needs. Before she was born, we had everything planned. Right now, she's a fully grown woman who has her own life. She has her own plans, but while she was in her mother's womb, we had put aside money to take care of her when she comes out and was born. We had put aside money for insurance. We had put money for education. We had put money for what she's going to eat. We put money on the side for the bedroom, whether it was going to be this color or that color. Money was put on the side so that she walked in the plans of the parents. She walks in the plans that we had for her. You know as well as I do that any plan by a child will never work. I imagine your child standing in front of you, being 1 or 2 years old, and saying, look, my plan is to go and play and never come back unless I'm hungry. My plan is to... It didn't work because children do not know. The reason why any planning from a child will never work is simply because children are just that. They are children. They do not know. Children do not know the plan that the parents have for them, but the parents, like God, know the plans they have for their children. And again, like with God, plans that parents have for their children are to prosper them and give them hope. When a child grows, they get to understand that no matter how clever they are, they can never know what the plans the parents have for them. They end up rising in the knowledge that the parents do know the plans they have for them. We are called children of God. In the book of John 1, verse 12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them power or a right to become the children of God. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive the right to be children of God. Even though he gives us this right, we need to receive it and walk in it just like a normal child. We do not know the plan that God has for us and for our lives. And as soon as we accept Christ as our Savior, we accept this right to be called children of God. And we become like children. The most important thing for us is to become like children and not have plans for ourselves, because we do not know what the plans of God are for us. Today, child of God, I want to assure you, God has a plan for you. You might be in a place that feels like exile, like the children of Israel. It might be an uncomfortable place. Someone might even ask and say, how come I end up in a place like this if God is alive? If God cares about me, you might ask, why did I get to have a life as bad as the life I have? I do not know what you are going through as you listen to this broadcast. All I know is that God does allow us to go into our exiles. He allows us to go through uncomfortable circumstances sometimes. But one thing I know is that he goes with you through it because he has a plan for you. When we go back to verse 4, he says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. From this verse, we learn that indeed God exiled his children. He exiled the children of Israel. He himself exiled them. He allowed them to go in that direction. But even in their exile, he was there. He was seeing their tears. He was just waiting to fulfill the plans he had about them. In this chapter, he is outlining his plans. I promise you, child of God, no matter what you are facing, God is waiting to fulfill his outlined plans for you. You just don't know it. In fact, he does not even want you to know it. All you need to know is that there is a plan for your life. Your future is secure. All you need to do is to trust God. Believe your God. Obey your God. We'll take a break and come back in a little while. We're going to do a song now by Joy Celebrations called When You See Me, You Save Me. And thank you. Joy Celebration 16. And we'll be back. One you call Lola.
wanna thank you. I just wanna thank you. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found.
I play today are songs that celebrate what God has already done for us. That is why in the beginning I played a song that you are Alpha and you are Omega. I mean, he's the beginning, he's the start, and he's the finish. We live in between. You know, when I say your future is covered, I mean, the beginning, he was there. We are in the middle, and we live in the middle. Our God is going to be there at the end because he's Alpha and Omega. And the song says, one is sealed, you saved me. And the knowledge of salvation is the knowledge of security of our future. All we need to do is to trust and to obey him, to listen to him, to have a ear that is listening to the voice of God on the inside. This is one of the most important things. God values obedience because he can never call on you to obey something that will harm you. He knows that when he leads you, he will lead you to a place that is good for you, a place that gives you hope. And you see this in the children of Israel failing from time to time to put their ear to the voice of God. We see them trying to make their own plans. We see their plans failing because their plans are not God's plans. Their plans are not created by God. In fact, their plans always led them to bondage and frustration. When you read in the book of Numbers, for instance, when we land on Numbers 33 in verse 1, it is outlining the route that the children of Israel took moving from Egypt into the promised land. After reading the whole chapter, I mean particularly this particular chapter of Numbers 33, I read it again differently. I took a map and I followed the map where they went. I see that they went for 40 years a distance. They could have covered around 11 days. They could have gone to the promised land much quicker. It is so incredible for me. 11 days turned into 40 years. And the next question that comes to mind is why? Somebody I was talking to at some stage answered this question differently. He said, after taking them from Egypt, God had to work at removing Egypt from them. Because when we come to know the Lord, we are used to making our own plans. When we receive Christ, we come from a background where we make our own plans. And it is a difficult thing to adapt to this new circumstance where our plans need to be surrendered to God. So when we come to God, we need to learn to surrender our plans to God. So the children of Israel, they were used to making their own plans in bondage, in Egypt. They knew their routine of work. They knew that after, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do this work. This is how I'm going to dodge and escape hardships. They have their own plan. They're used to that. When God releases them from Egypt to take them into the promised land, they have a problem surrendering their plans to God. That is why we see them along the way rebelling against Moses, rebelling against God, rejecting the plan that God has for them. And it always lands them into problems. They were not conditioned to simply inherit the new while their mind is still stuck in the old. In Exodus 14, you hear them complaining, bemoaning their present situation, and they're looking back into their past, and they think their past was glamorous. They still had their past on the inside of them. You cannot accept and walk according to the plans of God while you're holding on to your own plans. God demands obedience from us. We cannot follow the plans of God without obedience. I want to tell you today, child of God, your future is secured. His plans for your life are guaranteed. It may not look like it. You might have given up on him showing up, but he's there like a teacher at an exam room. He's there waiting to come to your rescue. All you need to do is to keep your life anchored in him, surrendering all your plans to him. If you give him your life and surrender, after giving your life to Christ, just surrender your plans to him. Believe him. Trust that his plans are good for you. You shall never be disappointed. We serve a God that is true. We serve a God that knows our circumstance. We serve a God that is not surprised at what we go through. Because what we go through is what he knows. That is why a man of God that I love so much said, although I walk in the valley, I will not fear. It's just a man who has surrendered his plans to God. He knows that he will walk in the valley of the shade of death. But he knows the God that he serves is with him there. Today, I'm saying to you, your future is secured in God. If you want your future to be protected from the evil one, surrender it to God. Surrender every aspect of your life, the money, your family, your time, everything surrender to God, and your future shall surely be secured in him. We shall close with a song by Joy Celebration, Oh, I Trust in You. May God bless you. Until next time, this is Pastor Jabu signing off from Johannesburg. Until next time, God bless you.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, beautiful people. Welcome to our New Growth in Christ radio broadcast. I am so grateful to join you today. I am Bishop Sidney P. Malone, the pastor and the founder of New Growth in Christ, and I am so honored to connect with you by partnering with this wonderful radio station, Finding My Way Radio Network. God is doing such a tremendous thing in this particular vehicle, and our prayers are working. We're going to continue to lift up our president, our founder, Ms. Caleb Padgett, as well as this wonderful vehicle, and we are expecting for the Father to do the miraculous literally around the world. So thank you, Ms. Caleb, for your commitment and dedication to the things of God. Thank you for being faithful to the call. Thank you for having a heart to serve the kingdom of God. So again, around the world, let's continue to lift up Finding My Way Radio Network. Let's continue to pray for our leader, and let's continue to believe God for the miraculous and those open doors and open opportunities to share the gospel to continue to manifest in Jesus' name. I am grateful for all of our partners, for all of our friends, for all of our prayer warriors who pray for us and who keep us covered around the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of all of the souls that are being changed by New Growth in Christ, we appreciate you. And of course, to God be the glory. But we understand that we could not do this if it were not for people like you. So thank you very much for your support. Thank you very much for your encouragement. And just please continue to lift us up in prayer. Continue to cover us as we endeavor to take this gospel around the world. I am grateful for our friends in the United States of America, as well as the church in which I am honored to pastor, New Growth in Christ. Thank you, New Growth in Christ, for your prayers and your support, as well as our partners from all over. The Lord has been faithful to allow me to travel and to share in different venues and in different cities. And so I'm very, very honored for all of our support from around this country. But also, thank you, thank you, thank you for just the local individuals here in Memphis, Tennessee, who pray for us, who lift us up. Look at our new website. For those of you who are interested in these individuals, you can go to newgrowthinchrist.com. That is newgrowthinchrist.com. You can go there and you can see how God has blessed us right here in the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee, in the United States of America. And again, New Growth, we love you and we're excited because you know the Lord is speaking some incredible things out in our sanctuary, and we are seeing these things happen for the glory of the Father. So thank you again for your support. I want to go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I am excited about today's message. Oh, my goodness. I am so filled with this. I believe that this is a wonderful time for the body of Christ as we are receiving, as we are believing, as we are expecting, and as we declare. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited about how the people of God are aligning themselves up with the divine will of the Father, and we are seeing miracles. There have been many who prayed and said, we need to see more miracles happen in the body of Christ. Well, beloved, prayers are being answered. I am a living witness. I'm seeing more miracles and more miraculous occurrences happen because, hear this, because we have a heart to do what the Father said, the Great Commission. Jesus said to go ye into all the world. And then he said, these signs, over in the book of Mark 16, these signs shall follow them which believe. Well, what's the purpose for a sign? The purpose for a sign is to share information. It's to indicate a particular direction. It's to indicate a particular location. It's to share some type of information with the individual who's following on a particular trail or path. And so he said, these signs shall follow them which believe. Now, it's important for you to understand that we are not chasing signs, but we are seeking first, Matthew 6 and 33. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we seek first the kingdom of God, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. So these signs are not ahead of us, but these signs are following us. Why are they following us? Because there are people who are looking to us for direction. There's a dying world who needs to see the life and the love and the lordship of Christ. And so when they see us, they're looking for a sign. Now listen, as a believer, we don't need signs. We have the Holy Spirit. And because we are filled with the Spirit and we're walking in the light of the Spirit, 1 John 2 and 20 says, we have an unction. We have an anointing. We have a knowing. We have a leading from the Holy One. And because of that unction, we know all things. Well, because we know all things and we're being led by the Spirit, because we're sons of God, we don't need a sign given when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling. We don't need a sign given when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling. He's dwelling within us. And as he dwells in us, he will lead and guide us into all truth. Amen, amen, amen. Now, as he's leading and guiding us into all truth, there are people who will look at us. They will look at our lives. They will look at how we are walking. They will look at how we are living. And from our living, our walking, and our demonstration, they will see signs. What signs shall they see? They shall see the miraculous power of God working on our behalf. They will see the favor of God. They will see the grace and the mercy and the love of God. They will see miracles. Now, beloved, I want you to hear me. Hear me very well, because we are children of the King. Miracles will work on our behalf. But we are not seeking miracles. We seek the Master. And as we ascertain the Master, as we get the Master, as we seek the Master, guess what? Miracles are a regular occurrence of our day. We will see favor. We will see blessings. We will see miracles. We will see wonders manifest. But hear me, the miracles and the wonders and the signs are not so that we can believe. No, we already believe. We don't need a sign. We don't need a miracle. We have faith. And because we have faith, we act upon what we believe. And as we act upon what we believe, we will see things manifest on our behalf. Now, since we've settled that, let me get to this particular portion of what I want to share with you today. We must speak our expectation. We must speak what we believe. There's a wonderful transaction that occurs when we connect our believing with our speaking. When we connect our believing with our speaking, and we connect our speaking with our believing, a powerful, powerful occurrence and manifestation happens in the life of the believer. The Bible says that that's how we got born again. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Why? Because we believed in our heart that he died for us and that the Father raised him from the dead. And because we confess, Jesus, you are Lord. And our confession is based upon what we have in our heart, what we believe. Guess what? Something powerful happened. What happened? Salvation. We were born again. We were born again because we matched what we believe with what we were saying. And that combination created a miracle. The same thing happens when we are walking by faith. The scripture says, I believe, therefore I speak. See, because you believe, you connect your speaking with your believing. And what else is involved in your believing is expectation. I have an expectation that things are going to go in a particular manner. Things will go in a particular direction. I have an expectation that things will manifest for me. And because you believe and you expect for things to be just as you believe, you will speak it. And when you again connect your believing with your speaking, something powerful begins to happen. Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 18. Reading from the King James Version. And we might go to the Amplified as well. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. The Amplified says, while he was talking this way to them, behold, a ruler entered and kneeling down, worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just now died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will come to life. Now notice this next verse. The scripture says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I have a question. Why do you think Jesus followed him? Why do you think Jesus stopped what he was doing, got up, and began to head to that man's house? He did it because that particular gentleman had an expectation. Bishop Malone, how do you know he had an expectation? Because he spoke what he believed. He spoke it. What did he believe? He, in his situation, knew that his daughter was dead. But his expectation was, she can still live. How is that possible? I need for Jesus to come to my house, and lay his hand upon her. If he does that, she shall live. See, that was his expectation. Again, Bishop, how do you know that? Because he spoke it. He said it. Now, we know, give you another example. We know that Jesus didn't have to necessarily come to his house in order for the young lady to live. Jesus could have spoken the word. Did not the centurion say, all you have to do is give the command, and my servant will be well? And Jesus marveled at his faith and just spoke the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. Well, why didn't Jesus just say to the man, listen, I don't have to come to your house. We can save that trip. We can save time and money. I can just stand right here and speak the word, and your daughter shall live. Why did Jesus not say that to him? Because if he did, if Jesus told him that, the man would not believe him. Oh, Bishop, how can you say that? Because the man came with his expectation. He already said what he believed. And you know what Jesus did? Catch this now. Jesus met the man at his place of expectation. He met him right there. He didn't tell the man, try to get the man to come up or to come down. Whatever the man said, Jesus met him right there. He said, I believe if you come to my house, my daughter will live. And that's why Jesus said, all right, disciples, let's go. Because I must meet the man at his place of expectation. How do you know that was his place of expectation? Because he spoke it. He allowed it to come out of his mouth. Beloved, please grab this truth. Whatever you believe, you will speak it. And the Father can only meet you at the place of your expectation. That's why Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But he started off by saying, if you can believe. If means there's a possibility that it might happen or it might not happen. And so he said, if you can. He didn't say if you may. He said, if you can. If you can believe. Can speaks to ability. And so Jesus told us, if we possess the ability to believe, he said, I'll release all possibilities at that place of your belief. Oh, beloved, hear me. It's not on God to do the incredible in your life, but it's on you to believe the incredible God. And he already said to us, if you can believe it, I will do it. Let's read on. Jesus was heading to the man's house. In verse 20, notice what happened. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now notice, this woman had an issue of blood. She wasn't identified by her name. She was identified by her issue. How many people who are listening to me right now, you have a circumstance, an issue that is so enormous that you lose who you are, you lose your identity, and now you are identified by your issue. Sometimes we can allow problems and situations to become so large and so great in our lives that we no longer are free to do what we believe we were created to do or what we desire to do. Why? Because we have an issue. This woman was identified by her issue. That issue had dominated her life, had controlled her life for 12 years. But I want you to notice her weird action. Bishop, what do you mean? Notice what she did. She came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Now, how in the world will touching the hem of his garment help her in her issue? How can that bring a solution to a problem that she's had for 12 long years? Notice verse 21. For she said. For she said. She said within herself. I like to term it this way. She mumbled her miracle. She didn't make a grand announcement. She did not invoke everybody's attention to what she was doing. No, she discreetly came in the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and she was trying to discreetly move away. But Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. He knew something happened. Why? Because this woman performed an action that she expected would bring her deliverance. Notice in verse 21 again, for she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Why did this action work for her? Because she believed it. She believed it. Listen, beloved, you don't go and just start touching somebody's garment. You don't go and just start touching your pastor's robe, thinking that it's going to work for you. It's not the action that worked. It was her faith. It was her belief. It was her expectation. It was her declaring. All of that is what caused it to work. Because the Bible says Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. The woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus turned around and said, you touching my garment made you whole. No. You pressing in the crowd made you whole. No. He said, your faith. Well, how do we know she had faith? Verse 21, she was speaking what she believed. See, listen, faith is action. It's action that is based upon my belief in the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And because I believe whatever the Father says, I put action to what I believe. What was her action? Her action was her speaking. She said, listen, I've had this issue for 12 years. If I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just touch his garment, I'll be whole. Now, we say touch the hem, but she didn't say that. She just said, I just need to touch his garment anywhere. I could touch his sleeve. I could touch his shoulder. I could touch his waist. I could touch, just as long as I come in contact with the very garment he has on, I will be whole. Now, because of how things were, she just came and touched the hem of it. But if she would have touched him anywhere, she would have been whole, because that is what she believed. I want to challenge everybody who's listening to me right now. Mumble your miracle. Speak your expectation. Don't say, God is going to bless me. See, is going to means that he hasn't already. No, don't delay your miracle. Speak your miracle right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is now. You speak it right now. Thank you, Father, I am healed. Thank you, Father, because I've heard the word today. I receive my healing, and I walk in it right now. Thank you, Father. I am prosperous. I am prosperous in every area because I've heard the word today. Things turn for me now. Situations turn for me now. Prosperity comes to me now. I receive the increase. I receive my blessing. I receive my favor. My family is saved. My family walks in the light of the gospel of Christ. My family is whole. My family is healed. See, you speak your expectation. Speak it now. And as you speak it now, you will see exactly what you believe to see. The kingdom of God, beloved, it's not, I see it first and then I'll believe it. No, beloved. It's I believe it, and then I see it. Father, I pray for your people. Bless them now. Increase them now to walk in this authority, to walk in this understanding, so that they will see those signs follow them, those miracles manifest for them, so that this dying world will embrace the character, the nature, the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We receive it now, and we bless you for it. Amen and amen. I love you, beloved. Thank you for listening to New Growth in Christ radio broadcast right here on Finding My Way Radio Network. And if you would love to get in touch with me, go to my website, newgrowthinchrist.com. Again, that is newgrowthinchrist.com. newgrowthinchrist.com. Go there and you feel free to be in touch with me, and I'd love to hear from you. So until next time, this is your bishop, Bishop Sidney P. Malone, reminding you to keep going and growing with Jesus. God bless.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.